We are in a series in the book of Romans. We are up to Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought back from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, you have become slaves of righteousness. I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regards to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, hide me behind your cross. Lord, this whole passage is very difficult for us to grab a hold of. Would you open our hearts up to revelation? Would you help me to speak clearly and easily so that we can grasp what you are saying and own it for ourselves? And we will give you all the praise and all the glory for every good thing that happens here today. In Jesus' mighty name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. So the title of the message today is The Dead Living. Point one, an inconvenient truth. Even though in Christ we have been forgiven of sins, something called sin still lives in us. This is a mole in the CIA. This is problematic. This is worm tongue that still lives in the castle. It's called sin, the sin nature, the carnal nature, the old man, the first Adam. He goes by lots of different terms. The flesh, all of these are a reference to this enemy within. He's a deceiver. Not just Satan. We already have Satan and his demonic demons. The Bible says they appear like angels of light. They are masters of deception. We're not just dealing with that. We have a deceiver right inside of us. Listen to this verse. Hebrews 3:13. But encourage one another daily as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. So for those of you who have seen Lord of the Rings and enjoy Lord of the Rings, you'll get this. If you haven't, you're not going to fully track with this, and that's fine, because I'll say it in another way too. But this is the perfect illustration. So Theoden really is a king. He is a king. He's in a castle, but he has been rendered powerless by somebody in the castle with him named Wormtongue. And Gandalf comes into the castle, and he is a type of Christ. He has gone through death, and he's been raised up, and he is now here to set people free. But Wormtongue is speaking to Theoden like he always does. And he's made him very passive. And he says, Gandalf's not welcome here. Gandalf, where was he when you needed him? And he has nothing to do with us. And he's just speaking into his ear and tell him that he's not welcome. And because Theoden is used to whatever Wormtongue says, he's about to say it. And Gandalf says, I'm no longer Gandalf the Grey. He takes off his cape. He says, I'm Gandalf the White. I've gone through death. I'm alive. And I'm here to set you free. And so he casts out the demonic presence of Saruman that is in him. But Wormtongue is left. Theoden has to deal with Wormtongue himself. And this is the dilemma of the Christian. There is a sin nature that has to be dealt with. Now, how demonic darkness works with this internal darkness, let me give you an illustration of how bad the problem is, how bad our problem is. So Jesus asked them, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he says all these wonderful things about Peter. And then for the first time, he tells them about what the Christ actually is. That the Christ actually, the one you want to rule everything, first he's got to suffer. He's going to be turned over to the chief priest. He's going to die. And then he will be raised on the third day. And Peter says this, Lord, this will never happen to you. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. So that's darkness. That's the evil outside of Peter. For you do not have in mind the interests of God, but the interests of man. So this is now self. Watch this. Not Peter's worldly self. Peter has left the world. He's all in. He's left everything to follow Jesus. Now it's Peter's religious self. Self doesn't care whether you're in rebellion or in religion. As long as it gets to keep its place, is in charge. Self on the throne. Self dictating. Self saying what he's willing to do. And then Jesus gives the solution for our sin nature. And it's not pretty. And he doesn't give it just to Peter and the apostles. He says, this is to everyone. Anyone wants to follow me. This is what it's going to mean. You're going to have to deny yourself, and you're going to have to take up your cross. A cross is an instrument of death to follow me. This is what it is going to look like. So we have, a few weeks ago, we had Leif Hetland here, and he took some of these truths and made them very real to us by these chairs. And so I've got the chairs out here again. And first I want to talk about the two clear worldviews. So here is chair one, the kingdom of God. And here is chair three, the kingdom of the world. These two have a very clear, consistent worldview. So here's chair three. So in 1968, there was a movie called Night of the Living Dead. It's a horror movie. And it was just a horrible movie. It was all these people that came out of their graves, and they were still dead, but they were alive physically. So they were like zombies going around, and they fed on living human beings. I mean, it was just gross. It was horrible. But this is the living dead. You can be alive physically and dead spiritually, or lost spiritually. It's called the kingdom of the world. You are here, you are on this planet, but you don't know why you're here. So you either get caught in the pleasure of eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we'll die, or you get caught in the worries and the cares of this world, and how are we going to survive, and live in fear or live in pleasure, or usually it's a mix of both, and it's like, got to get through the week so I can get to the weekend and numb myself by getting drunk or getting whatever I'm going to do on my own, and alive, but dead on the inside. So chair three, and this is the title of the message, The Dead Living. Come again? What does that mean? Okay, to live in chair one, you have to learn the secret of living dead to the old nature. dead to the sin nature so that you can be fully alive in Christ's resurrection life. This is the only way to win in Christianity right now. You have to live dead. You have to learn the secret of being dead to yourself and alive to God and filled then with the Holy Spirit. This is the Spirit-filled life. So this is a consistent worldview, and this is a consistent worldview. Now, but Leif told us most people live that are Christian end up living in chair two. You get saved out of chair one, or chair three, thank you. You get saved, and you go over to chair one, and isn't Jesus amazing, and I'm forgiven of my sins, and I'm filled with the Spirit, and life is good, and Jesus is good, and I'm so excited. But the problem is you still got all of the habits and the music and the friends, and then you got the sin nature, and you got demons, and so pretty soon you slide over to this second chair called chair two. And this is the one who has this incredibly inconsistent worldview. You find the chair two in Romans chapter 7. Let me read this passage to you. This is Romans 7, 19 and 20. And Derek's going to do a whole message on Romans 7 next week. I don't want to steal his thunder, but I'm just going to do two verses. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. I am confused by my life. I have accepted Christ. I sincerely want to follow Jesus. I want to do the right thing, but the thing I want to do, I'm not doing. Things I don't want to do, I find I am doing. And sin is still ruling in my life. And I'm confused. Why is the gospel not working for me? This is the inconvenient truth. This is where most Christians end up living. So we want to talk about how to live in chair one. How do you live dead to the old man? Make your identity in Christ's death. So here's what it says. We have been buried with him through baptism into death. So here's baptism, okay? When you give your life to Jesus Christ, you get baptized. We got one in a couple of weeks. And so what happens is you go down in the water. That's called the watery grave. I am dead with Christ. I'm dead to my own power, to my own life, to my own everything. And then we come out of the water and I'm identified with the resurrection of Jesus. And I'm saved by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But scripturally, baptism is not about an event. It is an event, but it's a sign. It's an outward sign of, listen, an inward identity. It's not just that we go get dunked and we go up and now, you know, is that what I was supposed to do? And no, this is your identity. You got to live dead to yourself and alive to Christ. And this is the Christian life by identification with Jesus. So here are the two great truths of Christianity. First one is this, believing this, Jesus died for me. Jesus died for my sins. Believing that truth will get you to heaven. Okay, that's truth number one. Truth number two, I died with Jesus. That truth, believing that truth and living that truth will get heaven into you. Believing Jesus died for you will get you to heaven. It gives you imputed righteousness, where God just gives you this gift of righteousness. You are in, you are adopted, no fear of death. When you die, you're going to go to heaven. But to get heaven into you, you have to live in this second truth that not only did Jesus die for me, but that I died with Jesus. And then you can experience something called imparted righteousness. One gives you a relationship with God. This one gives you fellowship with God. Fellowship that changes your life. That's what sanctification is. It's being changed by the real presence of God today. Consider yourselves, Paul says, to be dead to sin. What? We die by identification. When Jesus hung on that cross, the old Adam died. The old human race died. You were there. You're part of that. We're all connected. So we died with Christ. The old died And we died, and that's what water baptism, I'm identified with his death. And then when Jesus rose, that was also me rising with him, and my life is, I'm dead to the old man, and now I'm alive to the new man. And so how do you do this? This is weird. This is interesting. But yet Paul takes it for granted. So here's 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So when I'm in Christ, I'm a new creation. The old doesn't get to define me anymore. It doesn't get to tell me who I am. Even though it pulls on me, even though it's there, it is passing away. Praise God, when Jesus comes back, it will be gone completely. But right now, the old tries to hold on, and we have to live in this new man. We need to consider ourselves dead to this man, dead to that old identity. It will not give me my identity. I am a new creation. I'm part of the new Adam, the new race, and I'm living out of this new identity. I am considering myself dead to the old man. This means being dead to our own dreams and desires. Pastor Tom, that is so un-American. America's all about our dreams and desires. We can have anything and be anything. And please, Pastor Tom, don't tell me it's not true. No, it's true. Here's 2 Corinthians 5:14 and 15. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So here's how it works. God so loved you. He knew how bad it was. He knew how bad sin was and how bad sin's effects were. So out of his love for you, he came down, he put on flesh, he lived a perfect life, and he died in your place. He gave everything for you. Because he loved you, he died for you. And so here's your response to Jesus. Because we love Jesus now, we die to ourselves. And we no longer live for ourselves, but we give our lives as an offering. He gave his life as an offering for us so that he could live in union with us. So we give our lives back to him as an offering to him so that we can live in union with him. And this is the best version of you and me. This is actually the only one that is going to work. So what does that mean? Well, if I am no longer living for myself and I'm dead to my old man, let's make it real practical. This is going to hurt, actually. A dead person is not offendable anymore. I don't get a right to get revenge on people. I don't get a right to dwell in self-pity. A dead person isn't lusting after things. A dead person, well, Pastor Tom, what about the plans and the good plans God has and the desires? I thought if we follow God, his goodness would follow. Yep, that's all good. And God makes you promises. He's got lots of promises. Are you saying I have to die to those two? Yep. Here's why. Even the things God has promised you, he will ask you to offer them back to him and put it on the altar. Because if they become the center, they become an idol, and you're going to end up living in the kingdom of me. You're going to end in chair two. So you got to give God even your desires, even the good desires, even the God desires. I want to be married. I want to have a ministry. I want to have a career. I want to have it. I want it all for the glory of God. And God's like, that's amazing. Now put it on the altar. Let me kill it, let me burn it, and then let me raise it from the dead so that it doesn't control you, so that I'm the center and you're free, and then you and I do this together. So a few weeks ago, Alice and I watched a video. This is on the Angel app, and it's called For the One. It's about a tour, a summer tour that Brandon Lake and Phil Wickham did across the country in stadiums. Amazing. You see the tour from their perspective, and they do personal interviews. You see them behind the scenes praying with the group, and they both get interviewed, and they tell the story of what this tour is, because they've got families, and this means leaving their families and being on this bus all summer long. And here's why it's called For the One. At first, it's for the one who died for us. We're willing to do this for the one that died for us. But it's not just that. It's also for the one that is lost. So it's for the one who died for us, and it's for the one that is still lost. This is our chair one identity. This is, what are we supposed to do if it's not about being married and having a career and doing this and that? It says in 2 Corinthians 5:20, it goes on to says, we are now God's ambassadors. And we are carrying this message of reconciliation to the lost in the world. And so here's the problem with chair two. We will never win the world from chair two. You're loved. You're going to go to heaven when you died. But we will never win the lost from chair two. We have to sit and have an identity in chair one if we're ever going to reach chair three. So St. Francis of Assisi said this. There's five gospels. Come again. He said there's five. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the fifth one is you. Here's the problem. People here, they're not reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. They're lost. They're only reading you. And when we're in chair two, they have no idea that Christianity is true. Because we're still in the kingdom of me. The only way we're going to reach him is if we're in chair one. So I'm going to encourage us. Let's learn how to die for the one who died for us and for the one who's still lost. Okay? Point three, do not present your members to sin. So first, you consider yourselves dead to sin. That's theological. That's in my mind and my heart. I am dead with Christ. I have died to the old man. Now it's really practical. So stop putting sin in front of you. Stop accessing the sin nature. So sin is on your hard drive. When you get saved, you don't get a new hard drive. God just adds the new nature to your hard drive. So now you could pull from either hard drive. Well, here's the problem. When you access your hard drive, you type in whatever you type in to pull up sin, you're going to end up with, and this is from Romans 6, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. So sin has its own evil desires. So you commit a sin or access through a sin, you're just looking at some porn. You're curious, and so you click on something, and you didn't realize there's a whole program of sinful desires behind it that are very, very powerful. And all of a sudden, you're in darkness that you never signed up for. And it can happen through you looking at porn. It can happen through you giving in to thoughts of revenge and hatred or self-pity. And you can end up with reaping these desires that are in sin that you did not sign up for. You didn't even know where these even coming from. The Bible says sin visits four generations. We all are born with flawed spiritual DNA. So this means the sins of your mom and your dad and your grandpa and great-grandpa, and that all comes down. That's all part of your spiritual DNA. And so you have no idea what's all in that package until you click yes, and it starts accessing. And it doesn't need to be you doing something. Something can be done to you. You can be molested, and all of a sudden this confusion comes and fear and horrible, horrible stuff starts coming up, and it's like, wow, sin is really, really, really powerful. It can confuse you. It can complicate you. It can take its darkness and squeeze you and make you feel like you are going to sink and you are going to die. And you didn't sign up for that when you clicked on it. So a Christian can choose not to click on it. Do not present your members to sin. Don't go down that road. It doesn't say you're not going to have them anymore. It says you don't have to click on them. So this is Galatians 5:16. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not carry out or gratify the desires of the flesh. Notice it doesn't say you're not going to have them anymore. As long as you're in this life, stuff's going to pop up on your screen. How many know that just because something pops up on your computer screen does not mean you need to open it? You can just delete it. Do you know that you haven't sinned when something pops up on your screen? We live in a world of evil and evil desires and demons. And just because something pops up on your screen, you just need to learn how to, yep, not taking that, boop, delete, delete, delete. And as you learn how to delete, which is being dead to it, I'm not going to present, but this is really curious. I wonder what this is. I don't want to miss out on it. This is interesting. And then you click on it. Oh, that's perverted. But it's also alluring. Now I'm going to watch a little more. And pretty soon, you're dealing with something that you never, ever signed up for. And so we got to get used to pressing delete. That emotion that comes, that self-depression, that depression, that discouragement that comes, delete. That offense, that anger, that how dare they, how dare they do that to me? You died to you. Click, delete, delete. The command from God is not make sure everybody treats you good. The command from God is you love everybody, including your enemies. It doesn't matter how they treat you. You love them. Dead, click, delete, delete, delete. You'll never live in chair one without delete. Don't access the sin nature. And so then we get to put off the sin nature. So here's Ephesians 4:22. Put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. So I noticed something this week that I had never seen before. There's nowhere in the Bible where it says, don't put on the old man. Do you know why? It never says, you know, don't put it on. Because the Bible, what the Bible says is this. You don't have to do anything to get it. It's already on. You know, whenever it talks about the old nature, it's about putting it off. You wake up with it on. You want to walk in the old nature? Let me tell you what you need to do spiritually to walk in the sin nature. Nothing. Just be passive. And you will wake up. You wake up in your pajamas. And I'll tell you what, if you don't change, you're going to be in them all day long. That is the sin nature. That is, you don't have to do anything to have the sin nature. It's already there. That we have to put it off. We have to choose every day, I'm going to put off the old so that I can walk in the new. So point four, last point, present your members to God. First, remember your identity. Romans 6, 13b. Present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. So baptism is not just a picture of your identity in death. It's a picture of your identity in life. I'm alive. The Holy Spirit is filling me. I'm excited because Jesus is alive in me. His power, his nature, his beauty, his love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control are all part of me. I am alive. My identity is not in just the death to the old, but alive to the new. We need to own that as our identity. 6:14. For sin will have no dominion over you since you are not under law, but under grace. Now, this is odd. Sin will have no dominion over you since you are not under, shouldn't it say, you're not under sin, but under grace? Why does it say, but you're not, because you're not under law? Here's why sin will have no dominion over you. Because you're not under law. When you go back to law as a Christian, you are back to the performance identity that is trying to be willpower it. I'm trying to be good. I'm trying hard to be good. I'm trying to do this in my own strength, my own power, my own will. And the result of it is going to be fear, guilt, and shame. And you're always going to lose. Sin will gain dominion over you. You are not under law. The reason why you can win is because you're not under law. Your identity is under grace. I'm loved. I'm favored. God is for me, not against me. God, this is why I win over sin. Not because I'm good, but because he's good. Not because I'm amazing, but because he's amazing. Right. See, when you get back in this identity, even if you're religious, you're Peter saying, it's always competitive. They may all forsake you, Lord, but I will die for you. I'm in. I'm committed. Jesus is like, Peter, 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 you're actually going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. You have no idea, Peter. This is not willpower, folks. This is not willpower. If you live in willpower, you're back to the performance identity. You are going to lose, and it will be confusing to you. How could I possibly deny Christ three times? Because you can't do it. It's stronger than you think it is. But it's not stronger than grace, folks. Jesus has poured out his love. He's poured out his favor. And if we live here, we experience fellowship with the Holy Spirit. The first Adam is no match for the second Adam. When we live in fellowship with Jesus, we are no longer under sin's power. Even though it's still there, we live dead to it. Okay, now we're going to get to another problem. Jesus said this. This is Luke 9:23. You need to take up your cross daily. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 15:31. I die daily. Problem with Christianity, this is Galatians 3:13 again. Encourage one another daily, lest any of you become hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Do you know what that means? That means even though you weren't deceived yesterday, you could be deceived today. And even though you're not deceived today, you're in the light and you got it. You know, I got the sinner. That doesn't mean you're not going to be deceived tomorrow. You got to keep doing it. You got to do it tomorrow. You got to do it the next day. And so lots of people that used to be Christians aren't Christians anymore. Why? How do they go to chair two, their life's confusing, it's not working, and then they decide to pitch the whole thing because they just want to eat, drink, and be merry again. It's deception. It's absolute deception. They become hardened in deception. And so Christianity is not the difficult road. Jesus said it's an easy, light yoke. It's the narrow road, not the difficult road. It's easy to get off of it. It's easy to get into religion or rebellion and no longer be in the freedom that is in Christ. And so we need to encourage one another day after day. You have to decide to be a Christian, not just today, but I'm going to be a Christian for the rest of my life. Not only am I going to oversee my own funeral and agree I'm going to live dead to self, but I'm going to confirm that every single day. I'm going to remember I'm dead. I'm dead. That person that cut me off in traffic. Oh, that's right. I'm dead. Praise God. That thing that comes up that's so alluring. Oh, that's right. I'm dead. Click, delete. You got to do it every day. So that's why I wrote this devotional. I've got a devotional called One Thing, Daily Devotions to Inspire Intimacy with God. Here's why. Not just to give insights about intimacy with God, but to give a habit of daily coming before God, daily. You got to do it every day. Got to do it every day. You got to make it the highlight of your life. Now, I want to talk about three words. The first word is desire. You have to desire to be in chair one. You cannot camp here in chair two. You cannot make a Christianity around, I am just a sinner saved by grace, so I will continue to sin and ask God to forgive me and ask God, and one day, praise God, I'm going to go to heaven, and Jesus, please get me out of here soon. The sooner I can get out of this planet and out of this body and out of this life, the better. Jesus, please come and get me. I am losing every day, and I'm tired of failure, and guys, don't camp here. That's a pathetic Christianity, honestly. Remember what Leif said? This one's prophetic. This one's pathetic. This one's anointed. This one's annoying. Don't make your religion in chair two and say, this is what Christianity is. Christianity is just this, and we try to get as much of the world as we can and still stay saved because the world's the ones having fun. We're not having fun. And it's just pathetic. So at least, even if we're in chair two, because there's no condemnation. That was one of Leif's biggest messages. There's no condemnation if you recognize, oh boy, I've been living in chair two. It's okay. God loves you. God's for you. Jesus died for you. You're going to heaven when you die. But there's an invitation. There's an invitation to live in chair one. It starts with a desire. It's not enough that I'm righteous and will go to heaven. I want my life to be transformed. I want to carry his glory. I want to be in the excitement of this so that I can reach these people. But it starts with desire. So you stoke that desire in a service like this. You stoke the desire. Yeah, chair one, let's do this. Okay. Then this very difficult word called discipline. So now you actually have to do stuff. Like me and my house are going to serve the Lord. We're going to be in church every Sunday. Well, you didn't realize how hard it is to get to church until you decided you're going to go to church every Sunday. And then you fight tooth and nail, and this went wrong, and that went wrong, got a flat tire, and then grandma called, and the dog is sick, and kids are a mess, and we all we did is say we were going to go to church. Well, the enemy's going to fight that tooth and nail. okay, desire has to be disciplined, and it's daily, so I'm going to start meeting with God every day. I'm going to set a time and a place. I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to put some worship music on. I'm going to get a devotion. I've got like four devotionals I read every day, and the one-year Bible, four devotionals. I've got journals. Every single day I do it, and when you start out, it doesn't feel right. It's like, this is four. Shouldn't my relationship with God be better than this? And I'm not meeting with him. And you know, Pastor Tom always talks about all these things that happen in his quiet time. Nothing's happening for me. And that's discipline. When you're in the discipline stage, you need to pray for delight. Delight is when you get addicted to his presence. Delight is when you get glued to chair one. You'll know when you're in delight because you stop noticing discipline. Other people are like, how do you do it? Like, are you kidding me? This is the highlight of every day. Yeah, I have to go preach in some places and do this thing and do that thing and visit these people. But that's not the highlight. The highlight is just being with Jesus. He is the great prize. He is our delight. And we are his delight. This is chair one, where I know that I'm delighted in. I don't have to achieve to become something. I receive to become something. You know how I like to start my quiet time? Jesus, you love me. Do you know that that's always true? He's crazy in love with us, guys. You are the great prize. That's true. I just want to be with you. Get my coffee. Get my little light. And just going to be with Jesus. It's not an intense time. It's not I'm being with my best friend. But the enemy will fight you on this. He will fight you. You try to instill a little discipline. The phone is going off. Get the phone out of your quiet time room, folks. Why use the phone for the quiet time? Maybe you need to get a real Bible instead of the one that's on your phone. Because you beep, 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 beep. The enemy, he's the master of distraction, isn't he? What's he so afraid of? He's afraid you're going to live under this fountain of grace. He's afraid that you're going to get addicted to the presence of God and that you're going to be a carrier of the glory in these end times.